Okay, as Dave just said, I'm going to be looking at the pathway that we call the word, or in some manuscripts would be referred to as an intellectual pathway. It's one of the pathways that I connect with God. And I think in preparing and putting the talk together, I've discovered that there are some things I've forgotten and some things that I need to do. And I think God must have done a on my hand, because it is so easy to give into apathy, to tiredness, to finding other things, procrastination, and finding other things that deflect you from doing things. So often God will give me a verse and I think, oh, that is really interesting. I need to follow that up. And then a week later I'm going, oh, I didn't follow that up. So I don't know if that registers with some of you, but that's sometimes where I'm at. So if you think I'm perfect, you can cross that word out straight away. Okay, so the characteristics of someone who is very good at connecting with God through the word are things that like some of the following things. So as we draw closer to God, we learn more about him. So there's that sense in which you want to read the word because you know you're going to connect with God. There's a sense of excitement that grows when you think about studying God's word. And on the whole, definitely, you tend to be a person who is a thinker. And I think that's where I found it a bit difficult because my brain doesn't always function effectively. they're the sort of people, or you're the sort of person who goes to a bookshop, Christian bookshop, and you're milling around, looking at the books, and you almost have to be dragged out before they close the door at 5:30. You're like a sponge wanting to take in stuff. Does that description so far remind you of anybody sitting here? Can you think of anybody? By the name of Dave Halls? Right, okay. If you think I'm wrong, you should be on the leadership WhatsApp. Okay, so studying scripture and theology comes naturally. There's a real love for it. They can often be people who have very little patience for emotional approaches to faith. So someone reads a scripture and they go, oh, isn't that wonderful? You know, God really loves us. God really cares about us. Whereas a person who's very interested in finding the nitty-gritty would find out who that was being written to and what the circumstances were at the time. So they look for a lot more detail. And sometimes in small groups, they will feel a bit sort of angst because it's a bit of the blind leading the blind. So everybody has an emotional response to everything rather than balancing it with an intellectual thought as well. Often when a person who is on a word, they love the word of God, faces a crisis or spiritual challenge, they tend to go into the Bible and then look for an analytical way of solving the problem. Does that ring any bells, Peter Sims? Okay. I won't pick anybody else up. So facing stuff can be very difficult for us. And I think it's very interesting to be aware that when Jesus was on earth, he quoted Moses at one point. And Moses' command to the people of Israel at that time was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. But then Jesus, when he repeated it, he added, and with all your mind. It's a powerful part of who we are, our minds. And this biblical statement actually forms part of our Northumbrian morning prayer when we are asked, do we seek him with all our mind? And the response is, amen. Lord, have mercy. And for me, that amen says, yes, but Lord, have mercy when I don't. So it's an interesting response. We need to engage our brains when it comes to connecting with God, whether it's through studying the Bible, reading other books, helpful materials, listening to podcasts, watching a YouTube presentation, or other forms of media. God can speak to us in many ways. and we can enhance our understanding of Scripture in many ways, but the baseline is always the Bible. And we need to remember as well that the Bible is our spiritual food. You know, we have three regular meals a day, and we'll, you know, our stomach rumbles if we miss something. And so it's important that we do build, whether we are on a, we have the Word as one of our pathways, that we build the Word and reading the Bible into our daily lives. Could anybody tell me who you think would be a biblical example of someone who was really into Word and intelligence? Pardon? Paul. Spot on. 10 out of 10. Okay. Yeah. In the Bible, Paul would be our great example. He was a student of Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel was a equivalent of a doctor of religion in those days. And he had the ability to hold people's attention when he spoke. And Paul was one of his students. So he was a Pharisee, Gamaliel. And so this is why in Acts you can see and read quite a bit about Gamaliel and his impact in the early church. I think also in Acts 5, Theophilus speaks of the wisdom of Gamaliel when he was talking to the Sanhedrin, when some of the apostles were arrested. And Paul went around traveling, as you know, and he preached and encouraged the church as well. He wrote some 13 letters. We looked at one recently, looking at Colossians. There's Philippians, Romans, to name a few. And he wrote letters to people specifically as well. He wrote one to Philemon, who was the leader of the Colossian church, and also to Titus. So he's a good biblical example of someone who, to whom the Word was quite important, his connecting with God. And we have a lot to thank Paul for what he put down, that encourages us in our walk and helps us to understand how we should live as Christians. So, contemporary people, here are a few. Okay. Unfortunately, I don't have a book by C.S. Lewis because he was one of the first people I put down. He wrote more than 30 books. He was a professor that was linked to Oxford and Cambridge University. He was also an Anglican lay theologian. He wrote Mere Christianity, Out of the Silent Planet, The Great Divorce, The Screwtape Letters, and, of course, the most well-known Chronicles of Narnia, which has sold over, apparently, 100 million copies and has been transformed into motion pictures. So, C.S. Lewis. John Ortberg has written, apparently, 242 books. I know I've got six of them, but that's quite a large number, 242. Then you've got Jeff Lucas. Some of us in the Renewed Group were looking at some work by Jeff Lucas recently. This is a book he wrote on Gideon. We were looking at Samson. And then there is N.T. Wright. I have to get these right because, yeah, this is him. N.T. Wright. Okay, so he is a best-selling author, and that's one of his books. He wrote a book for Advent, Journey Through Matthew. Okay, so that's him. And then a guy who unfortunately died from cancer just a week or so ago, Timothy Keller. He has written a huge number of books. He was an American pastor, theologian, and Christian apologist, author of a number of books. And just so the women don't feel left out. No, we didn't write the Bible. This is Joyce Meyer's commentary through the whole Bible. She's gone through and all the way through at various points, there are comments that she makes and so on. And it's a hefty book, very good for flattening stamps, as I found out. And then you've got people like Bill Johnson, who you've heard about, and probably R.T. Kendall. And there are many other people who are those that connect with God and hear him and are able then to put it down in writing for us to enjoy and understand and develop our own relationship with God too. So we need to engage and develop our pathway. So how do we do that? We build up our strength by making sure that we do make study as a discipline, or we would tend to grow stagnant. You know, and there have been parts of my life where I've been very intense about doing that and other parts where I haven't. And then it's also good to read other books around the subject so you become well-rounded in what you are reading in scripture so that you have a greater understanding. So with some of the books that Paul wrote, say, it's good to look at what the culture was like when the Colossian church existed and what it was like for the Roman Christians when they were around. And to understand, too, particularly things like women should wear hats in church, understand the culture of the time and why that was said. It's important to expose yourself to other people's teaching as well, so things like conferences or recordings that you can listen to, podcasts, reading Christian journals, all of that helps to develop your spiritual understanding and probably makes you quite an interesting person to talk to. Also, find like-minded people that you can have good discussions with and talk to about the various things that you're finding out or things that you're not quite sure of. And in our church, that will be Dave Halls. Okay, he's sat on the third row. Any questions, that's where you go. Cautions. Guard against becoming all knowledge. All right. It's very important that you have heart, because if you have knowledge, you might think you could go up to someone and go, okay, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, and the Bible says you should be doing this. But it's important that we have a heart response, which is a love response, in the way in which we handle things that God shows us and we handle people. It's also suggested that we don't confuse being smart with being spiritually mature. Because maturity as a Christian is about love. The greatest of these is love. It's not intelligence. Intelligence is important, but it's not all importance. So developing the whole area of worship can come into play as well, so that it gives us a balanced view of stuff. So we're developing our heart's, if you like, direction to God through worship, through music, poetry, dance, whatever, and keeping balanced. So we have a balanced situation going on. Important to keep examining ourselves and reflecting about how we are, how we are behaving, how we are interacting with others. And just to encourage us that even if it's not our pathway, there are a couple of things that Scripture says, and I think Peter might put the slide up for me. So let's end, as I end this, so that David knows he's about to start and he's not going to cut me off at the throat. Let's read together 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Psalm 119 Verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Key verses to remember. Okay. I'll move the library. I'll remove